I would say at the same time, like, living without God is even harder than living with Him.
Okay, you gotta say that again. Living without God is even harder than living with Him. Please unpack that.
Why would you give me such a dirty look?
Wasn't a dirty look. I was serious. That was Liz. Me being moved by the Spirit. I was like, that sounds like a gem.
Meaning.
And we're gonna keep going. Ready?
Yeah.
Let's do this. All right. So we just moved over to the shade because I look like a. You ever like leave the house after not leaving for like a day or two, and then you come outside and you're like, "What is this bright thing in the sky?" That's what it was like. Okay, I'm gonna stop talking.
So you're a hermit.
Let's go back to no. Well, sometimes, but not like in an unproductive way.
It's okay to be unproductive, I guess.
It is, but I love productivity.
Okay. Anyways.
What was I gonna say? So yeah, that taking that ownership and looking at what parts of your life are you doing to help like push you towards this thing that you want, not just in a relationship. Not just in a, not just with others, but also with yourself, you know what I'm saying? In terms of like fitness, eating right, school. It also is imperative in your relationship with God. And I think one of the biggest things that's helped my growth is when looking at what's happening, or the biggest thing that helped me grow is to look at my focus and dedication in these other areas of my life. Like going to the gym and like working on this project or like doing this editing or whatever, and then looking at what my consistency level was with God, it was night and day. And I mean, realizing that, being confronted with that, and then saying, okay, this should be flip-flopped. A lot of my habits change, and because my habits change, my mindset also, or let me, my mindset changed first, and because of that, my habits also began to change. Because you can try some things, but if your mindset isn't really geared towards this new level that you want to go to, then it's not really going to help you that much. Like it won't keep you on the other side of that. And that's one of the beautiful things about, like you said, like how much time are you spending prayer in a given week? If you're going to church every week, you're going to Bible study, okay, that's great. But how much are you reading your word? How much are you spending time in prayer? Not just speaking, but also listening. Because just like the word says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God cares about your heart, and He cares about your mindset. And if your mindset does not match the... God won't take you to a place where your mindset and your heart doesn't match like your... where you want to be or where you want to go. Like, He's not going to give somebody $1 million who doesn't know how to manage $1. He's not going to give somebody a lot who doesn't know how to manage a little, you know? And it's like with life, the thing is that it doesn't become more, doesn't.
I beg to differ.
You beg to differ?
I do.
Can I finish my thought and then you chime in? Bit bad.
Go on.
Okay. And so to say that, dang, I lost what I was gonna say.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Time management.
Yeah, like the life that as you like get older in life, I mean, it doesn't become necessarily less. It doesn't necessarily become easier, but you grow stronger, and if anything, you become more busy. So learning how to manage your time with what you do have is important. You know, like what happens when you have a family, when you have kids, when you have a husband or a wife, when you have a job or a career or a business or whatever it is that you're doing, you're gonna have more things that are gonna require more sacrifice of your time. And if it's challenging for you to find a way to implement God now, what happens 5, 10, 20 years down the road when you have more things on your plate? And so one of the things that God's really been working on is just not only shifting my habits, but also shifting my mindset and my heart posture to reflect those changes. I want to hear what you have to say.
I think, like, God knows you, and He knows what you're capable of.
Mm-hmm.
So it might feel like He packs on. Like, I could speak from personal experience.
Yeah.
You know, like, people say God gives His hardest battles to His strongest soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
Or He won't give you more than you can handle.
Mm-hmm.
But I can attest that I have felt so in over my head at so many points that has felt like He's given me too much to handle.
Mm.
And so I would, like, I only argue for the mindset of don't go into it being, I guess, maybe, like, apprehensive that, like, I'm only going to keep it in its, like, little box. You know, like, allow it to grow.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, that is perfect. That's awesome. Especially because, I mean, I feel like that's kind of what happened with both of us. Like, you, one of the things that you share with me, or you didn't really share with me, you told somebody and I listened in. But it was when we first, so we met at this Bible study on campus. One of the events they had that she hosted, she brought one of her mentors, brought her through Zoom. And this mentor of hers, she spoke about her upbringing. Can I mention just?
Like, sure.
Okay. Her upbringing in the occult and in witchcraft, and then her transition in life through that to family and the military, to then being in a place where she had placed Christ at the throne of her heart and the throne of her life. And at the end of this, it was one thing that was really clear through this entire, like, discussion was her ability to hear God like you would not believe. Like, it was a conversation, like someone was sitting in the room with her. And then someone walked up and asked Ariana, like, hey, she wanted to know about, like, how she was able to hear God like that. And you said, honestly, why don't you say what you said? Or do you not remember?
I don't remember.
You said, honestly, it might not seem as, like, straightforward as you think, in the sense that you have to be relentless, right? Like, you have to really be relentless with seeking God. You said this, like, I would pray and I would ask to be able to hear from God, and I asked for it constantly. And I mean, it would take weeks,
years,
months, years. It would take years to be able to hear from God. And see, this is the kind of the intimidating thing. I heard that middle of my sophomore year, and I was like, years? It's gonna be years? What? And I was like, years? I mean, I'm gonna be here, so I guess I got time.
But I think years to listen in the right way.
Yeah.
Because I think God did speak to me in several different ways, mm-hmm. that it's just transformed.
Yeah.
But I think the ways that I was asking to hear from Him and train my ear, it took me a while.
Yeah. No, that's good.
Yeah. But everybody's different.
Everybody is different. And I think it's not to say that I went 2 or 3 years without hearing God at all. It's like you said, like, the way that I heard Him change and grew with time and experience and consistency, and then also just a genuine yearning to hear from Him and to be in His presence. And when I heard you explain that, it shifted my mindset that I needed to have about, this is something that's lifelong, you know? This isn't something that you wake up tomorrow and you finally get, and now you are, like, God's perfect little child. Like, no. Like, you grow in this daily, weekly, monthly, yearly. With each season of your life, you grow in this. And
sometimes it's never gonna get, like, easier.
Mm.
because I think people think, oh, once I've made it to this point, once I'm talking to God, and once I can relay conversations that I've had with God, like I'm talking to you right now,
yeah,
then it's like, then I've made it, then I'm coasting for the rest of my life and all this stuff.
Yeah.
But that's just an unrealistic expectation, because there's still temptation, there's still sin, there's still so many other things out there that are going to interfere and just be like, well, it's gonna be hard.
Yeah.
It's never gonna be easy. This is not a religion for that's just easy.
Yeah.
But I would say at the same time, do we gotta pause?
You're good.
Okay. I would say at the same time, like, living without God is even harder than living with Him.
Okay, you gotta say that again. Living without God is even harder than living with Him.
Please unpack that.
Why would you give me such a dirty look?
It wasn't a dirty look. I was serious. That was me being moved by the Spirit. I was like, that sounds like a gem.
Meaning, when you're living without God, it's gonna be hard. You're always going to feel like something is missing from your life. You're gonna be feeling like you're missing purpose. You're gonna feel like there's a little empty hole in your heart. You're gonna have a hard time figuring out just what life is and why we're doing it. I mean, life is hard. Life is really hard. And I'm only in college, so I feel like it's gonna get harder.
No. You're gonna grow stronger. And when you grow stronger, it will feel...
No, I think it's still gonna feel hard. And that's okay.
Okay.
That's kind of what... I mean, there's nothing... There's no going around it at this point. It's just going to be hard.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a friend, and I don't know, with all the things that she's been through, how she gets along without God. Like, if I did not have God in my life, I don't know how I would be able to move forward.
Mm.
I don't want to call it, like, a write-off, because... Like, you don't know all the answers, so sometimes with all the uncertainty, you can just say, like, God has a plan for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually interesting. There's a research study that shows that people who have, like, religious beliefs end up, like, healing a lot better. Their hope is a lot better because they're believing in something bigger than themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're feeling like, oh, my body's shutting down, like, all this stuff, you're putting a lot of personal pressure on yourself. But if you're, I guess, like, giving up the stress of it and being like, it's all up to God, there's a lot of hope that comes with that and, like, rejuvenation within your body. Obviously, there's, like, God healing you as well, but from, like, a mental viewpoint of it.
Yeah.
But I think you can apply that to your life as well. But living without God, like, that's going to be really hard. Of course, there's spiritual warfare when you're living with God as well.
Mm-hmm.
And just... I don't know. Life's not always going to be easy.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to overcome things, and then Satan's going to press another button and make something really hard, and then you're going to go, it's okay, God has me, God has my back, everything's going to be all right, even if this sucks, and then he's going to be like, oh, so you can handle that too? Here's this.
Mm.
You know, like, I'm going to keep piling it on just because I can.
Yeah.
And I want to make you second guess your faith as much as I can.
Mm. That's good. I had a question that I wanted to ask that would, like, lead into the spiritual warfare aspect, because that is another level of, maybe I can say that for the next one, because I feel like what we talked about a lot today was, like, the mindset and also the practices of prayer, and, like, that's like the base level of, like, this is how you set yourself up for a lifestyle of being in constant contending with the enemy. But one thing that's beautiful is that the Lord equips us, right? The Lord equips us. Well, let me say this. The Lord arms us. He gives us what we need to be able to fight off the enemy, but it's up to us to pick up what he gives us. It's up to us to pick up the weapons, the shield, the pick up the armor, and to put it on and to use it.
I was going to say that. You took the words out of my mouth.
Were you?
Mm-hmm. Good job.
Okay. It's up to us to put it on. It's up to us to know, like, hey, this is what the Lord has given me. Like, those instances where the enemy is coming in and is trying to sneak his way in, I mean, there are certain things that, like, I can say that will literally give the enemy, like, and I say this is interesting, you're gonna have to do a lot more research with this, but give him legal right, in a sense, to torment me and to attack me and to do certain things based off of the things that I profess with my mouth, right? Like, when you get in a hard situation and you're saying, oh, this is hard, this sucks, this, I can't do this, I, you know, like, you are speaking things into existence that the enemy now has right to bring into fruition. And now it's like, you're, not only is it affecting your mental, like your mindset, because, like, that's a sort of, you're gonna have the right word for this.
I would say it's
conditioning. Like, you, what you're speaking is, like, helping.
You could say conditioning.
Yeah. I don't know if there's a more. She's a psych major, y'all. She got the right terminology for this.
It's okay to acknowledge that something is difficult.
Yeah.
Like, I heard somebody say a couple of years ago, like, anger is healthy. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was, like, the weirdest thing in the world. Because, like, being angry is very, like, not, like, in a way frowned upon. Like, mm-hmm. Nobody wants to be angry. Like, yeah. Oh, if you're angry at somebody else, you don't want to be seen as an angry person. Mm-hmm. But it's healthy to be angry. But it's not healthy to then decide what you're going to do with that anger. If you're going to put it away and then be done with it and, like, work through it, that's one thing. If you're going to let it manifest, that's another thing. You can say the same thing with what you're saying. It's okay to say, hey, this is really hard. This is really frustrating. I'm going through these trials.
Yeah.
But there needs to be a but. God has me. God has got my back, mm-hmm. and everything is going to be okay.
Yeah.
But I'm just in the valley right now.
Mm. And so my next question for you, which is, I guess, how we would close this, is what are the ways that we get that? Because what you just said, like, but I know God this, and mm-hmm. I know God that, right? Like, that's our sword, right? Like, that's how we combat the thoughts and lies and words of the enemy, so we can have victory and share that victory with Christ. But, like, what are some of those, like, how do we go about, like, knowing that for ourselves, that, okay, I'm going through this, but God this. I'm going through this, or I'm feeling this way right now, but I know that God X, Y, and Z.
I think the hard thing is that it is faith. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes it's more, like we said, the conditioning of, man, this is really hard, but I know I haven't, in the past, I guess, reframed it, but in a spirit of trying to put it in God's hands and relinquish the pressure of it, I'm going to, every time I feel this emotion, I'm going to pray for 5 minutes. Every time I feel this, so it's your conditioning, you're getting back into that groove, and then it's going to be natural for you to immediately, when you have an issue, you're going to turn to God first. Immediately, you're just going to, and it's going to be second nature.
Yeah. I like. And I would say another thing, too, is, like, what you know about God can help you. Well, let me rephrase that. What you don't know about God can't help you when you need it, right? Like, the less knowledge you have of who God is, the less you're going to be able to trust and believe that God is who he says he is and can be who he says he is in that particular situation, right? Like, for example, the Lord says that he's my provider. Now, if you ever have gone through life where you feel like you're going with, like, with, without, if you ever if you're ever going through life and you feel like you're going without, like you're lacking, if you feel like you're in lack of necessities or in lack of what you need to thrive, right? That's an opportunity for God to reveal himself as a provider for those things that you're seeking. But the challenging thing is that in order to get to that place where you know that this is how God can be active in your life, you have to be in a place where you need God to show up in that particular way. And that has honestly been one of the challenging parts for me, is that one of the reasons why, kind of like what you said, it's like people say like, oh, like I see that maybe he's got it figured out, so I'll ask him to pray for me. The reason why that I've been able to grow my faith in the way that I have in such a short time has been because of the fact that I've needed God to be present in this way, or I wouldn't have been able to make it. I wouldn't have been able to prosper, to thrive, to see past the next day. And it's only in having the situations that God can solve those problems, right? Like, if there's no need, then why would he provide the solution? Why would he provide the way out if you have all these other options? And I mean that to say that all that glitter is not gold. Like, God doesn't necessarily glitter himself up to make himself like the most irresistible and like he doesn't glitter himself up. Like, if we look at Jesus and the prophecies about there being a coming king, and him being the king of the Jews, and then him being associated with the throne of God, right? When you read that and people think about that, they think about this glamorous and what's another word for wealth? Glamorous and
rich,
wealthy, not lucrative. There's a word. It's going to come back. It's going to be there. But looking for, like this lavishness, like, that's what people think of when they think of a king. And then they saw Jesus, who was just a humble man. He was humble, and he was working with his hands as a carpenter. Like, he was doing the things that you wouldn't think that a king would be doing, right? And so I say that to say that It's in the seeking of the Lord that we often are able to see that treasure that he talks about all the time. That it's not always going to be just like put on a pedestal. Like, we have to seek that and want that for ourselves. But I'm getting sidetracked. Going back to the point about going back to the point about seeing being able to see God in our circumstances, oftentimes I've needed to see God be present. Or in order for me to see God be present in the circumstances that I was experiencing, I need to have that need in the first place that can only be filled by him. And that's not always easy, right? Like, I had to come to know those things through personal experience. And that's why I'd say, like, personal relationship with Christ, like personal relationship with God, you come to know him through relationship, through personal experience, through going through life and experiencing it in a way that someone can't come back and say, oh, that didn't happen. Like, are you kidding me? I lived through it. Like, I saw it. Like, it was real. And that's what gives me the confidence to talk about what I talk about. Like, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Like, it started with faith and being able to see, like, okay, I trust that this is who God says he is. And then he shows himself in this way. And then he reveals himself and shows himself in that way. And then now I have more fire and more fuel to continue on and to keep seeking God in this way. And it prepares me for the next stage, the next season, the next way that I'm going to have to be able to experience who God is. Because the thing is also about faith is that you're not going to stay in the same place, kind of like going to the gym. And this is why I said earlier about, like, it gets easier. It doesn't get easier in the sense that you have to lift less, but it gets easier in the sense that you're able to lift more than you can previously, right? Like, 50 pounds today won't weigh as much to me, or that's not true. It won't affect me or keep me from being able to lift it, you know, a week, 2 weeks, a month, 2 months from now when I go back to the gym to pick it up. And but also a month, 2 months from now, ago, like it might have been a lot more challenging to actually like pick it up. And so I think it goes back to saying that it is a journey, it is a progression, and it's gonna have to be a daily practice. It's gonna have to be, and let me not just say daily practice, it's gonna have to be a practice. Your consistency will change with seasons and life. It's not gonna necessarily always be it shouldn't be like a kind of thing where like you beat yourself up because you missed one day of reading the word, but it's gonna be this progression that as you see that there is a need, a greater need for the Lord in your life, you're gonna do more on your own just to try to surround yourself with him and be in his presence, right? Like years ago, I would have never told you that I want to go to a worship night. And now the idea of going to a worship night and being in his presence is like exciting to me. And that sounds weird for if I was listening to this months, years ago, or not months, years ago from a little bit concerning. If I was listening to myself say that years ago, I would have been shocked about saying something like that. Like worship night, go to church on a Friday. Why? You know what I'm saying? Like I that would have been like a genuine concern of mine. Like, why would I go? I can do that then. And it's not to say that what I wasn't saying wasn't like a genuine response, but I just didn't see the need for God like I do now. And it really is a progression.
I think it's important too to have a community. Like, I think we've talked a lot today about personal development and personal growth, but I think it's just as important to have a group of people who are also working on their faith as well.
Right.
And, like, some really strong, and maybe when you get to a point, some that you can help lead as well.
Mm-hmm.
Or be there for, or be alongside.
Because
this isn't something that God was just like, okay, good luck.
Yeah.
Like, be out by yourself, because if it was all by ourselves, it would be very apparent that it was supposed to be a solo journey. We are called to be in community as well.
Yeah.
I think it's just important to not rely on your community and your friend group and maybe their strong faith and say, well, maybe I'm sinking a little bit, but they're gonna float, like they're gonna carry me because they're all like strong in their faith.
Yeah, that's good. I actually want to speak on that a bit. So I have three friends, David, TJ, and Bella, and one of the ways that God blessed me with that community was that they were in a place spiritually where I was not, that pushed me to desire what they had in their faith. And like, not in a sense to be like jealous of their faith, but in a sense of like, they have access to God in a way that I would want to have access to God. And the thing is that I have the ability and the opportunity to have access to him in the same way. I'm just not taking it. And it pushed me along to pursue him deeper and pushed me to seek him in a deeper way, more than I ever had. Don't rub my arm like to seek him in a way that I haven't before. And I think one thing that God has been working on recently in the past year was weaning me off of their support to look to them as a way to help bolster my faith. Because they were always around me. I always had access to them. They were always there to give me guidance. And the truth is that I think that it's not that their community wasn't a bad thing, but it's that God was shifting my mindset and saying, Gabe, I need you to see yourself in the same way that you see them. So that way other people can start to reach out to you so you can help them. And you can help them see themselves the way that they're going to see you. and it just keeps growing, right? And the challenge with that is, like, when you will start to rely on what their words say, because you know they're coming from the heart of the Father, you still rely on hearing from God from their lips. And, you know, that can kind of put some imbalances on how you pursue God. Do you pursue God through people and only people? Or do you pursue God in every capacity? Community, prayer, the word, church, worship. I mean, the list goes on. Through your own gifts, you know, like through service. Like, it, do you seek the Lord in just one way? Or are you allowing the Lord to be seen in multiple facets of your life? And so that's one of the ways that God's been growing me, because I used to really, like, rely on that probably about six to eight months prior from where I was now, going, like, into, like, my job and internship, and maybe about 3 to 4 months after that was, like, this period of just, like, really learning how, like, I was going to grow, sustain my own faith. And with not having them there, the Lord showed me how he was going to do that and how I was going to do that. And so because of that, it changed the topic of conversation with these group of friends, right? It changed them. And they've been on the podcast before, except I don't think Bella's made an appearance yet. But it's been on... It's like it changed the topic of conversation, right? Like David and TJ, like the way they talk about their faith, I'm now in a place where they'll call me to inquire about something that the Lord put on their heart that they need advice or wisdom about. And I'll do the same, but it doesn't feel necessarily so one-sided anymore where my only source of wisdom is necessarily coming from someone who is necessarily, like, more experienced than I. Like, I can spend time in prayer, spend time in the word, and God can give me my answer directly. I can go to him and he'll be like, Gabe, this is what it is. That's it. I don't need to follow up. I don't need to seek any second advice. Like, he'll tell me straight up, like, this is what it is. And I'll be like, all right. And I can go on with life. And that took time to be able to do that. But yeah, as you were saying that, it really reminded me of that, because that's something that the Lord really, really shifted. And now my topic of conversation with them now is, like, when they share something with me, it's like, okay, like, Lord, how would you want me to respond to this? How would you want me to be there for David, Bella, TJ? Like, how would you want me to be there for them? And it's like, okay, they're calling me about this. All right, awesome. Like, the Lord shared this with me a few months ago, and now I can talk to you about it. Or I had an experience myself when TJ called me a few days ago. I had an experience last year, and it related to him where he is now in life, but I didn't have the wisdom to see that until now. And, like, that's also really interesting to see how all that stuff can connect together when God starts to do his little thing. Big thing. Not a little thing. Do his big thing. I'm going to review some of the things that we said. First thing that we said is looking for, like, I actually talked about this with Brian in my last podcast, but the mindset and the conditioning of our mind to not just reframe our struggles and our problems in life, but also to help reframe how we see God. And so we reframe how we see God through prayer, seeking him in prayer, and not just praying what's on our heart, but also listening to what he wants to share with us. And then we also have reading the word. Gaining and acquiring knowledge about who God is will make you trust him it will give you a better foundation to trust him when the time comes, because it will come. You also mentioned community. And not growing in this faith alone. And then also you mentioned something that was really good, is being realistic and taking a realistic approach with our growth in our faith, right? Not putting so much stress and burden on yourself to feel like you need to be at this level, which I think is really good. Like, giving yourself some grace, that's huge. Like, giving yourself some grace that this is the grace that God's giving you. Just say, like, hey, you now have the realization of, like, where you're at, but don't feel like you need to make this quantum leap in a day to be where you feel like God's calling you to be. Like, he's going to take you there. He's gonna walk along with you. And that goes back to the very final thing that you said, which is that I'm saying you're not alone, but that's not what you said. What did you say?
What, like, seeking community?
Well, I guess it was in the lines of seeking community. I guess it's a little bit separate, but really that you don't have to, you don't have to do this walk alone.
Mm-hmm.
And that can come in many different facets, not just in regarding the Lord as a person, but also regarding the people that God has put around you to help you.
To help you.
To just help you. Help you with your faith. Help you in life.
You sounded like you had, like, more to the sentence.
Oh, I did?
And so
I was done. My mind
to help you.
My mind, there was a period. There was a period there. Okay.
To help you.
To help you.
There you go.
To help you. Yes, definitely.
See.
I think, like, where are we at? Awesome. I think the biggest jump that I've had in my faith that I want to finish with is really what you said that day to those friends of ours. It just, and even with David, TJ, and Bella, is like the implementation of Christ in my daily life, making him a part of the little things. Even like, I have another friend back home. He was telling me that he would just walk around on campus and, like, he would have a mindset of being appreciative for where he was at. Saying, like, Lord, just thank you for the air that I'm breathing. Thank you for me being able to get an education where I am. I'm at this great school. I'm doing this. Like, being grateful and expressing that. And I think there's a difference in saying, yeah, I know that I have a lot to be thankful for. But it's another thing to also express that gratitude. Because when you express it, you kind of hit the factory reset and, like, humble yourself and say, like, there are a lot of things in front of me, things that I prayed for that I have with me now. And, like, who's to say that a few weeks, months, years from now, that the things that I've been praying for were where I am at right now, God wouldn't have brought me to in the future. So the next episode that we're going to do is going to be focusing more on the spiritual warfare aspect, because while it's one thing to have the foundation of what it means to pray, there's a lot of different facets to prayer, but the next level is that equipping. Like, are you going to be equipped with, are you going to equip yourself with what God has given us to go out into this world? And I mean, sometimes that can really make or break a lot of the situations that you may find yourself in. When you're praying about something you're going through in your family or, like, your personal life or through school or through work, sometimes being equipped can be the difference between whether or not you have that peace and you experience that peace in that dark season. So, do you have anything you want to add?
I don't think so.
Okay. Awesome.
Cool.
Y'all, we appreciate you. It's bright.
You can't get out of the sun here.
Y'all, we are, ooh, dang. It's just getting brighter. It's just getting brighter. Y'all, thank you guys for tuning in to Crooked Sticks, the community of conversation. Again, I am your host, Gabriel Brown. This is the Crooked Sticks podcast, where we encourage you in your faith. Don't get it twisted. Y'all already know what's going on. And again, this has been the first episode with having Ariana on here. And I'm very grateful that she came on. She's got a lot of wisdom and a lot of things to share that she's just experienced in her walk with the Lord. And so I'm very grateful. I know that there are people, men and women, who need to hear what you shared with us today. So thank you.
Totally.
That's it. All right, then. Y'all be good.